Husker Nation, let's address some of Nebraska's concerns. Let's start with the trenches, the offensive line, the defensive line. Let's talk about the elephant in the room. Why have the Huskers been so wildly inconsistent from quarter to quarter, now game to game? We don't really know what to expect despite their capabilities. What does this mean for the rest of the season? How can Nebraska improve sooner rather than later? And also, I'll share some crazy things with you that were sent to me. Let's chat. Welcome to the Carrick Chronicles, the People Show. Checking the polls of Husker Nation, brought to you by DPS Concrete Construction. Check them out at dpsconstruction.net. Also, CarrickChronicles.com. It's where all your Husker sports hopes and dreams and sometimes nightmares will come true. It's just science, ladies and gentlemen. All right, if you're like me and you will still support the Big Red always and forever, no matter what, smash the like button. Now, somebody hit me up last week. By the way, if you haven't done so yet, make sure you subscribe and or ring the notification bell. They're like, Adam, I swear that YouTube unsubscribed me from your channel. I'm like, I have no way of checking that. But again, if you think you're subscribed, you may not be. Just double check if you're interested. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to do things a little bit of reverse order. I'm going to share my thoughts at the end because the pictures that were sent to me and things that I've seen kind of feed into my thoughts at the end of the show. And in the middle is going to be some random things as well I think you might find interesting. I will say this. I couldn't help but notice as this show was being put together, there's a lot of frustrating things, okay? But I tend to be a positive guy. You know why? I don't have to explain why, especially when it comes to Husker football. But I can't talk about a win if we don't win. I can't talk about us rushing for 200 yards when we rush for 46 and only 12 in the second half. I can't talk about things that don't happen. I can only talk about what happens. So let's go, shall we? All right, Nebraska quarterback Dylan Raiola said, and I quote, I'm very frustrated right now. It sucks a lot, end quote. Raiola said he'll, and I quote, take all the blame and all the hate, end quote. 6 points is pretty brutal. I will take that one, end quote. I will say this, there's no hate, not from the majority of people anyways. It's just passion, 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 but I get the frustration. Did you know at one point in the game, Nebraska had ran 16 plays inside of Minnesota's territory, and at that point, Minnesota had only ran one play, and they were up 7-3 at that point in the game. All right, another point in the game. This was via Brian Christofferson. That's 8 Husker sacks allowed with minus 53 yards on them. Nebraska came in 110th with 16 sacks allowed. At the moment, 24 is tied for the worst in FBS. That was obviously, we ended up with 9 sacks we allowed throughout the game. Okay, here's some other stats. It is what it is. Raiola dropped back 38 times tonight, sacked 9 times. He was sacked on 24% of his dropbacks. That's a lot. We can't win that way. I do agree. Here's some other things. Minnesota ran 55 plays. We ran 54. We sacked them once. That's less than 1% of their snaps. 1 out of every 55 times they snapped the ball. We also had 3 TFLs. So 4 times out of 55 plays, we tackled them in their backfield. On our 54 plays, they sacked us 9 times. That's 17% of the time that we snapped the ball, they sacked us. That's more than 1 out of every 6 times we snapped the ball. If you add in the 10 TFLs, that's 19 total times, sacks and TFLs combined, out of 54 plays that they tackled us in our backfield. That's 35% of the time. That's more than 1 out of every 3 plays. All right, they tackled us in our backfield. I will say this. I don't know that Emmett could have done a whole lot more. Man, that guy runs hard, but I would have liked to have seen him gotten the ball a little bit more. That's for sure. But we'll see what happens in the future. Dr. Rob Zadiska put this out on X. He said, looking at the sack totals this year, after the 9 we gave up Friday night, it got me thinking about how many we gave up in 1994. I know it wasn't a lot, but I couldn't remember the actual number, so I looked it up. 6. We gave up 6 sacks total in 13 games. Somebody responded, yeah, but you probably only threw it about 14 times the whole season to the tight end for a 55-yard touchdown every time. All right, Dr. Rob responded, actually, we had 216 pass attempts. Another guy responded, they go, but did you play Minnesota? Rob goes, fair question. All right, it was a unfortunate program record. 6. If you don't laugh a little, you're just going to lose your mind. Don't worry, it's going to get more serious as we go along. It was a program record, if you didn't know, 9 sacks. So when Rob said this, I was like, wait, we gave up 0 sacks in 1995, 6 sacks in 1994. 2 years combined, we gave up a total of 6 sacks. And on Friday versus Minnesota, we gave up 9. By the way, 9 sacks is 3 more points than we put on the scoreboard, which was 6. I warned you off the top of the show. There is light at the end of the tunnel. Stay tuned for the whole show. And it's not hogwash. It's legit, at least in my opinion. All right, at Husk guys, in fairness, okay, so this is a screenshot of one of the sacks of Dylan Raiola where they looked like they were going to rush 3 guys. But they only rushed 2. And that's how they got their 9th sack of the game. Huskies responded. In fairness, we thought they were going to rush 3, so this is not fair. All right, and if you go on to the next screen grab, there's a huge hole. So some of this is on the offensive line, obviously. Some of this is on the running backs and their protection if you get ran over or somebody doesn't run the right route or whatever. Because Rule said in the postgame press conference that happened. All right, there was one time where Emmett didn't pass protect the best and gave up a sack. There was another time where Raiola looked to throw to somebody in the flat. They simply didn't run the route. They weren't there, so he held on to the ball, got sacked. This time, Raiola could have stepped up in the pocket pretty easy instead of trying to run around, especially if it's only the two guys rushing on the outside. Step up. It all goes hand in hand, but it starts up front. We all know that. We'll get to that. Again, Rule said, and I quote, a little bit of everything contributed to the 9 sacks, end quote. Some other things he said. He felt like we were on our heels defensively versus Minnesota. Offensively, we were out of whack, Rule said. He also said they were the more physical team, and I quote, they got after us, end quote. Now, keep in mind, Minnesota has 0 sacks in their previous 2 games combined before they played us. Now, they had 14 through the first 4 games. In the game they played Rutgers, they had 7, but 0 their last 2 games combined. Then they had 9 on Friday night versus us. Now, you look at our Big Ten opponents and our Power 4 opponents only. In our 4 Big Ten games, we gave up 7 sacks to Michigan, 5 versus Michigan State. And remember, the Spartans had 0 sacks against a Power 4 team before they played us. I don't enjoy these stats any more than you do. They just are. We'll get to the point. We gave up 1 against Maryland, who led the Big Ten in sacks at the time, so it can be done. And obviously 9 versus Minnesota. That's 22 sacks allowed in 4 Big Ten games. You go to our other Power 4 opponent, Cincinnati. We allowed 3 sacks in that game. So 25 sacks in 5 games versus Power 4 teams. I will admit, I looked up the tackles for loss as well. Just not going to discuss that, okay? If you go back and watch the film, there was 10 times there was free runners to the quarterback. I'm talking untouched guys going at the quarterback. That's the protection. All right, Mitch Sherman, Nebraska coach Matt Rule on the 24-6 loss at Minnesota, and I quote, there's nothing that led me to think this was going to be like this, end quote. Rule said he felt the Huskers were on their heels most of the night, and I quote Rule again, we never really put them under any duress, end quote. I will say this, if you go back to some of the losses that we've had, that's a fairly similar theme that we hear in post-game press conferences. Nothing that really led me to think that this was going to happen. Do with that what you will. Now, he did say we're not going to make any excuses, and he doesn't make excuses. I will give him that, and I respect that. And I quote, they got after us, end quote, we have to make those crucial tackles that led to the touchdowns. That's a big key. Michael Severe says, you can watch all the video, go over all the numbers, run through all the trends. I feel like he's talking to me. But sometimes one team is ready to play and the other is not. Boom. If you watch my show, I talk about that all the time as well. Also, whatever. It's still been 2006, which we've had back-to-back road games. Tired of talking, back-to-back road wins. Tired of talking about that. You got to give PJ Fleck credit, though. Until we beat him, he's got our number. You may not like him. You may find him annoying. Guy can coach football. Got to give him his due credit. Jim in Minnesota said, that was one of the most pathetic performances I've seen. Okay, it's not a great first part. Hey, he's entitled to his opinion. It was at the end. That's why I included this on the show. At least we didn't lose a 1-score game. Ha, ha, ha. Okay, before we move on, I want to give a shout out to our sponsors, DPS Concrete Construction. Check them out at dpsconstruction.net. Retaining wall work, concrete work, nobody does it better. If this is the type of work you want done, go to dpsconstruction.net. If this is the type of work you do, Jason Armstrong is the owner and type of boss you want to work for. Again, check them out at dpsconstruction.net. They are your local retaining wall and concrete experts. Also, Husker Auto Group. Husker, Chevrolet, and GMC have aggressive pricing on 2025 model Silverados and Sierras, up to $11,000 off of MSRP. APR as low as 2.9%. Financing with approved credit. See dealer for details. Husker Chevrolet and GMC also has a great selection of 3/4-ton Silverado and Sierra trucks. Husker Chevrolet and GMC is locally owned and operated. Husker Auto Group is conveniently located off of North 27th Street and I-80 in North Lincoln. Also available 24/7 at huskerautogroup.com. So this is a fair point here by Huskies on X. Credit to Minnesota. They watched a ton of film, knew exactly what plays to run on offense, stretch zone reads, lots of short quick throws, and slow drags across the middle, especially where Butler wanted to run more man-to-man. That's a nightmare for man-to-man defenses. And then they just sit on the ball and run the clock. It's the perfect offense. It's how a team wants to shorten the game, keep the opposing offense off the field, control the ball, control the game, keep it moving. It's how a team, we'll discuss talent in a minute, that isn't quite as talented, because people think I'm full of it when I talk about the talent level. We'll get into that. Beats a team, one of the ways, with more talent. It's one of the ways you beat them. Also, this is not Dylan Raiola. I'm just saying. Fox, how do you mess this up? Mo Berry, thank you for pointing this out. You weren't the only one. Apparently Minnesota could find Dylan Raiola, but not Fox on TV. All right, Dirk Chatelain, humiliating, but not surprising. All right, this Husker performance was hiding beneath the surface the past month. I didn't think Minnesota was good enough to expose them. Turns out it didn't take a good opponent. So Minnesota, this is a team that was outgained by almost 200 yards combined by Rutgers and Purdue. Now, I'm recording this show before college football games are played today, so I have no idea what the outcome of Purdue and Rutgers games are today. But as of right now, they are under 500. And they got outgained by both those teams by almost a combined 200 yards. Now, they found ways to beat them both. They beat them by a total of 10 points between those two games. Minnesota finds ways to win, but they're not a great team. This is not Ohio State. This is not Georgia. This is not one of those. That's what makes this so hard. If you go get blown out by one of the elite teams, that sucks, but you can live with it. You get blown out by a team you should have blown out. That's what makes this so hard. And it's Minnesota. And it's the all whites. It's the whatever. Okay. Minnesota made sure the Matt Rhule to Penn State chatter hit pause. The Gophers dominated 24-6, piling up a program record 9 sacks and a 98-yard touchdown drive to scream game over. PJ Fleck, this is why I put it in there, is now 7-1 versus the Huskers and owns them, according to Mr. Sipple there. You look at our two losses, there's some common denominators, Michigan and Minnesota. We've allowed a total of 16 sacks combined in those two losses. We gave up 4 explosive plays, 3 of them for touchdowns, 2 of them of over 70 yards, okay, and the one that didn't get in for a touchdown was tackled at the 1-yard line and led to a tush push quarterback sneak touchdown. Now, those two opponents had more things in common than just that. The total rush yards between Michigan and Minnesota, our two losses combined, was 472 total rush yards between those two games. They averaged 236 rush yards apiece against us. Michigan averaged 8.7 yards per carry. Minnesota, 5.3 yards per carry. They ran it a combined 68 times in our two losses so far this year, and they averaged a combined between the two of them, 6.9, or basically 7 yards every time they ran the football. And both teams ran the ball over 60% of the time, 61.3% of the time between the two teams to be exact. On the other hand, we averaged 1.4 yards per carry and 1.2 yards per carry respectively in those two games. Now, I understand sacks take away from the rushing yards total. I don't agree with the rule. I think it should just have its own column. If your rushing yards should be your rushing yards, your passing yards should be your passing yards, you should have this own sack department over here that just takes away from the total yards, but has its own department and doesn't affect the rushing yards. Although somebody could argue it should come away from the pass yards. You were trying to pass. No, I think it should be its own column, but that's not how it works. It's the same thing.
This is the new Weight Watchers. It works for members like JoJo, who's learning simple, healthy habits. Sharia, who's making progress with meds. And Kim, who still gets to eat what she loves. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Watch your life open up. Watch your story shift. Watch what you're capable of. Watch it work. Get started today at WeightWatchers.com.
For everyone. So if we sack them 10 times for minus 100 yards, it's 100 yards off their rushing yard column as well. Right now, those are the rushing yard averages, 1.2 and 1.4 in our two losses, and they're averaging almost 7 yards per carry against us the two times that we've lost, plus the sacks, etc. Now, here's some takes from Matt Husker's talk on X on why we didn't win. Offense couldn't get anything going. That's true. We started out with a 3-and-out, so we didn't start fast, and we didn't score a single point in the second half, so we didn't have our normal dominant fourth quarter. We never got going at all at any point in the game. All right, 2 overthrown passes to Dane Key for potential touchdowns. They were there, okay? They would have been maybe some tough catches, but they could have been there. You also had the drop from Nyzaiah Hunter, who's been our best wide receiver recently. So when we go back to the Maryland game, and the quarterback, Malik Washington, at the end missed the wide-open wide receiver to the left, and everyone's like, see, we should have lost because of that. No, they made mistakes. We made mistakes. That's how you lose games. Who makes less of them? That's how you win games. They also mentioned offensive line lack of protection, run defense non-existent, penalties. Now, there were some penalties that I saw fans pointed out that could have been called, that weren't called, that led to Minnesota touchdowns. They beat us. Yeah, they probably missed some calls. They also beat us. Josh Peterson said, this is worse than the Indiana game last year. This is worse than the Michigan game in year one. This is the Minnesota hoodie game all over again, except with good weather in Minneapolis. I think Indiana was worse than Michigan. Michigan went on to win the national title. Indiana made the college football playoff, but they played a really good team in Notre Dame, and it showed. Indiana's even better this year. I think Indiana was worse last year, even though they were a better team than Minnesota is right now. Going into the fourth quarter, it was 14-6. We were within striking distance versus Minnesota. Going into the fourth quarter of Indiana, do you remember? It was 42-14. We were not in that ball game from the get-go. It wasn't even close. We never really had a chance. So even though Indiana was better, Minnesota's not as good, I just felt like Indiana was probably a little bit of a worse loss. Now, maybe you agree, maybe you disagree with that. Let me know in the comments below. We've lost to, we played three freshman quarterbacks so far this year in seven games. Maryland, Michigan, two true freshmen. And the Minnesota on Friday night, unfortunately, we've lost two of those games. Now, here's the deal. When it comes to talent, because I've had people tell me, Adam, you're wrong about the talent. We're not more talented. Look at these games. Here's my take. You can let me know if I'm wrong in the comments. I'm always open to hear what people have to say. All right, my take on talent. Being big doesn't automatically mean you're going to be more physical. Being faster doesn't automatically mean you're going to get from point A to point B faster. It means you should have an advantage, but being faster doesn't automatically mean you will play faster. Being big doesn't automatically mean you're going to play physical. All right, being more athletic and or more coordinated does not automatically make you a better football player. To be good at football, you also have to block, tackle, catch, and have a physical mindset. Being more talented doesn't guarantee you anything. It just gives you a head start. And that's it. Having more talent gives you a higher ceiling than your opponent if you have a more talented team, but it doesn't guarantee you a higher floor. It gives you a greater percentage chance to be better than your opponent, but being talented doesn't automatically mean you're good at football or for anything in that matter. Just like being smart doesn't automatically mean you're gonna get good grades. Again, being more talented just gives you a head start, but that's it. Josh Peterson, Nebraska has been terrible after reaching their fifth regular season win in the first 3 years under Rule. All right, we were 5-3, and then we finished 0-4. In 2023, 2024, 5-1, then finished 1-5. This year, 5-1, 0-1 so far. And he says, also, all three of those losses after the fifth win were really bad in different ways. I will say this, year one was at Michigan State, a Michigan State team that had lost four straight games. And then we unfortunately lost that game. Last year was Indiana after 5-1. This year was Minnesota after 5-1. But it doesn't mean the rest of the season has to be the same. We're going to get to that. All right, this was sent to me. I thought it was interesting. Leadership carries burden and accountability, especially when you're dealing with a public institution. Husker football is important to our state. Its memories are both good and bad, but in those memories, there is a definition. Now, before we start to get to the meat of all this, I want to give a shout out to one more sponsor. I give a shout out to 66 Auto Service in Lincoln. Check them out at 66autoservice.com. They're located at 2405 P Street in good old Lincoln, Nebraska. Locally owned and operated for 20 years. When you go in, ask for Dean Phelps. He's the owner. He's a good dude. Honest guy right there. Eric or Jeff, you can also ask for them and tell them that Adam sent you in. They do great work at a very reasonable price. We now have kids that drive, as you know, and it's where we take my family and I, all of our vehicles to be taken care of. Everything from oil changes to engine replacements. They offer shuttle rides, loaner vehicles, and financing as well if needed. Again, that's 66 Auto Service in Lincoln. Check them out at 66autoservice.com. All right, before we get to the meat of this, here's some crazy things in the general world of sports you might find interesting. Bengals veteran quarterback Joe Flacco, who was with the Browns not long ago, admitted that many of tonight's play calls when they beat the Steelers earlier last week from coach Zach Taylor, my former teammate, that were called in, he could not understand. Despite Flacco not understanding what Taylor was saying, he balled out. All right. Also, Lance Leipold, Kansas head coach, fired his assistant who was caught on a half dozen cameras planting a pocket knife on the sideline to draw a flag against Big 12 conference foe Texas Tech. When asked for comment, Leipold didn't sugarcoat it. He said he got caught. Concise, cold coach speak. Wow, this takes cheating to a whole new level. Also, the World Series is almost here. Shohei Ohtani has officially put together the greatest athletic performance of our lifetime, according to John Root. Six shutout innings, 10 strikeouts as a pitcher, and then three home runs as a hitter. John says, we're watching the greatest baseball player of all time. By the way, his second home run, watch the reaction of his teammates. It's the farthest home run ever hit in Dodger Stadium. By the way, the Dodgers swept the Brewers. They're in the World Series. The Seattle Mariners, my team I rooted for growing up, they are leading the Toronto Blue Jays 3-2. I remember the last time they were really good, the Mariners, they had Ken Griffey Jr., Jay Buhner, Edgar Martinez, Joey Cora. A-Rod was like 18 years old and just a rookie. They had Randy Johnson. It was like a quarter of a century ago. I hope they make the World Series. All right, Husker fans, if you feel like this guy, all alone in the world, with everyone around you talking trash, just know there's hope. Stay tuned. Kenny Bell said the sun will come out. Hang in there, folks. As always, go Big Red. Yeah, just pain. It was pain everywhere, so we got to keep pushing through and being resilient. Larry the Cable Guy, avid Husker fan, said, well, disappointed, yes. But life goes on, and there's another one next week. Let's start the wins back up again next Saturday. I ain't a quitter. Huskers don't quit. I'm with you, Larry. I take that back. I quit twice. Okay, I'm not with you, Larry. A Wendy's in 79 and a Publix in 81. I get it. All right, but that was a lifetime ago when I was a quitter. But I'm no quitter now, so let's go. Let's fix what needs to be fixing and beat Northwestern. Go Big Red. Always Nebraska. I'm with you once again, Larry. All right, so it's really hard to win in college football, in football in general, youth football, but especially in the Big Ten Conference if you're struggling in the trenches. All right, is it fair at this point to ask about the O-line coach? At this point, it absolutely is. Is it fair to mention his relationship with the quarterback? I don't think I'm breaking any news here, but yeah, I do think it is. It would actually be unfair to the fans, in my humble opinion, just to simply not mention it, because that's the elephant in the room. And the big question out there. Now, someone might take this as people are going after other people's jobs. No, that's not what anybody's interested. People are busy with other stuff. Okay, oh, they're trying to tear down the program. Nope, we want what's best for the program. We live in a world where sometimes where people think the madder I am, the more right I must be. No, the madder you are, it doesn't make you more or less right. It just makes you more mad. Now, Coach Rhule was right last week during his press conference when he said coaches are not cyborgs. They are people. Ladies and gentlemen, he's right. They should be treated as human beings, not less. Treated with respect. Now, at the same time, there's a level of accountability that needs to happen. And if you're going to make 6 to 7 figures a year, you need to be able to handle that accountability or find a different and new profession. This is a results-oriented business, especially over time. All right, these are fair questions to ask in my humble opinion. Number one, are we getting the results we want? Number two, if not, how do we get them? Number three, if changes are necessary, will they or won't they happen? To me, these are all fair questions at this point, if the priority is what's best for the football program. Now, only one man can answer them, and that's the man in charge. That's Coach Rhule. If you don't think this is fair, feel free to let me know in the comments below. I will point out there's a lot of good football coaches out there that don't have, like James Franklin. That dude is a really good football coach. You remember, so Vandy's pretty good right now. Diego Pavia, right? You know the last time Vandy was good was over a decade ago? You know who their head coach was? James Franklin. All right. Now, how can the Huskers improve? Consistency. The second and third quarters of games, can we put together 4 full quarters or just 3 quarters out of 4 and make progress and improvement in that direction? Don't go backwards in any department you're already doing well in. Just keep slowly getting better in the other areas and work towards consistency. Right now, we're wildly consistent from quarter to quarter to game to game. The 3 biggest things I feel they need to improve in, just my humble opinion, number 1, blocking, number 2, tackling. The same 2 things I mentioned after the Michigan game, by the way. Also, I would add this, playing faster. Don't just be faster, play faster. And that's reps over time with a very, very young team. It almost looked to me versus Minnesota like the game was a little bit too sped up for some of the guys out there. And that happens when you're learning and growing and improving. But you got to keep making progress. And hopefully that includes consistency. And obviously you focus on these things in practice. Now the rest of the season. How do I look at the rest of the season? I take it one game at a time. Start by beating Northwestern, getting bowl eligible before November, I might add. In the preseason, I predicted we'd lose one of these 4 games in October, not because I thought any of the teams were better, just because we haven't earned the right to assume we're just going to beat everybody that we're supposed to beat 4 games in a row, even if it's on October or whenever. But if we beat Northwestern, we get to 6-2. Do that, and the floor is still 8-4. Just, if you go 500 in December, which the goal is higher than that, hopefully we don't do worse than that, but you go 500 in December, there's an 8-4 season before the bowl game. One game at a time is my emphasis now. Beat Northwestern and get ready for a wild November. Games to remember are played in November. All of our reasonable preseason goals are still in front of us. UCLA didn't fold. Of course, again, I don't know how their game unfolded on Saturday. I'm recording this before all the college football games are played. But we're a young team. Young teams tend to be more up and down. There's a learning process. It's going to be more volatile. We're the youngest team in the entire Big Ten. But we do need to keep getting better. The schedule the rest of the way is wildly unpredictable. Who knows what to expect out of Northwestern, UCLA, Penn State at this point. I know exactly what to expect out of Iowa. It's just like Minnesota all over again, and hopefully we'll be better prepared now, knowing they're eerily similar after having played Minnesota, who plays eerily similar to Iowa. And as far as USC, competitors see an opportunity when you play a team like USC. But we'll see what happens. One game at a time. Let's start with Northwestern. Here are my questions for you fine folks at home. Let me know your answer in the comments below. They're brought to you by Husker Auto Group. Check them out at huskerautogroup.com. You can also follow me on social media. I'm on X, TikTok, and Facebook. Here are my three questions. Let me know your answers below. Number one, is there anything I did not cover in the show today? Let me know. Number two, will Nebraska beat Northwestern and get back on track? It's not like we're way out in the weeds. We're just slightly off track. All we got to do is beat Northwestern and get back on track. Even though the Minnesota game felt like three or four losses, it's only worth one L in the L column, okay, in reality. Also, is everything I discussed in this show fair in your opinion? The reason I'm posing that question again is because I say what I have to say for the world to hear. I have my reasons. I look things up. I find information. Doesn't mean I'm right, but I have the guts to say what I have to say for the world to hear. If people want to respond, I want to hear what you have to say. Feel free to respond in the comments. Go, Big Red. And always remember, go to the...